Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
It does.
It does. Good morning, Jefferson. We're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Which one are you?
I'm bright-eyed.
I don't want to be bushy-tailed.
You can be cottonmouth.
Hey, they wrote a song about me. Cottonmouth. They wrote a song about me. I mean, you know, you just heard it. I don't know what bar stool I was on, but...
Any number of bar stools.
Yeah. Probably the Palomino room.
Probably. You probably fell off of it.
Yeah,
there.
We'll get on to that a little later. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry and Wynn and Ashley. How are you, my dear?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Okay. What is the national day today?
We are looking at National Ride the Wind Day.
Ride the Wind.
And National Sponge Cake Day.
Oh, good. At least I'm not breaking the wind day.
Yeah, that's
Terry
what I was going to say. Yeah, we were breaking the wind yesterday.
For our
breaking the wind.
For our local listeners in Reading, we are looking at an AQI. That's the air quality index of 172, which is rather unhealthy.
Oh, so you can taste it, huh?
Yep.
All right, chew it up.
So, stay safe.
Yep. Thank you. All right.
Well, thanks for all that good news, Ashley.
That's what I'm here for.
Great source of stress already.
Sponge cake day. Yay!
Yeah, sponge cake. Okay, that's better.
It's all 2020. Right. There can't be good news.
Amen, brother.
Broadcasting live from KCNR.
1460.
And 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better.
On FM.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you have a question... Working. We going to talk at the same time?
It's been working lately.
Yeah, it's been working.
We haven't had any lightning strikes up on that tower that shut it down yet.
Yeah, I know.
Yet.
Hope not anyway.
Yet. We're looking at another set of lightning, dry lightning coming in the next couple of days. So.
Oh, here we go.
We're also streaming live.
Yes, we are.
And we're podcasted, and we are also...
Archived.
Archived, yes. You go to programming and hearing these programs. And also, we are celebrating 10 years on the air, or actually, KCNR is.
Yep.
We're celebrating about 5 years on the air.
Yeah. Ours is almost six.
Wow. Yeah. Time flies.
That we pay to do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't earn an income for doing this.
No, we don't. And also, we are broadcasting worldwide.
Worldwide,
mm-hmm.
We have a bigger bubble than this.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. And we have two guests in the studio.
We do.
And I'm going to bring them on right away. I have some other things, but I want to bring them on.
And don't forget, if you want to call in, 605-4567.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Okay.
Carlos and Becca Zapata, how are you two doing?
Good morning. We're doing great.
Okay.
All right.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Are you?
Right?
Bushy-tailed.
We have to start.
You're bushy-tailed, right?
Sure. Take it.
Anyway, they'll be our guests this morning. And before we get to them, we're excited to have them, first of all, our couple of patriots and... Carlos owns a couple of businesses, and Becca is a nurse at Mercy, and it's absolutely we're thrilled to have them because they're real patriots. One thing about Carlos, and we'll get into that in a minute here, is that not only did he serve his country, and thank you, my friend,
amen,
but he also stood for our rights, our God-given rights that are guaranteed through the Constitution. But before I go on with that, I've got some COVID news for anybody out there who's a football fan. I found this interesting this morning. It's been all over, and that is that the Cleveland Browns had 12 false positives of COVID, and the Chicago Bears had 9 false positives of COVID, all from the same lab in New Jersey.
So is that like a failed touchdown or something?
Something like that. It's kind of like, you know, really and truly, they didn't have COVID, but they were told they did. And so there's a big to-do now, and of course, a lot of the sports have been very liberal. They've been leaning toward the side of, you know, hey, this pandemic is, you know, it's going to get us all, and oh, my gosh, you know.
So it's hitting that side of the fence now, huh?
I'm telling you. It isn't that it's not real, and Becca will probably touch on that a bit. But I wanted to bring that forth a little bit because now it's really starting to affect a lot of different areas in our lives, including businesses, which Carlos owns. And Carlos, tell us about yourself and your business how this whole thing's affected you.
So back in March, we were starting this whole COVID thing, you know, and in fact, we were in Hawaii at the time and on a family vacation. And at that point, we were already in escrow on the Palomino room in Red Bluff. You know, we decided early in the year, around January, that we'd purchase it. And, you know, as we went through our whole, you know, liquor licensing and everything else, you know, we found ourselves in March with the hard decision of whether to go through and close the deal or whether to walk away from it. And we decided to go for it. We decided to, you know, go forward, and not knowing how long this, you know, whole COVID disaster was going to last. You know, we thought that in 2 weeks, like they originally said, to flatten the curve, that we'd be open again and, you know, we'd be able to run our business normally. But that wasn't the case. And if you guys remember, you guys that followed us on Facebook and Instagram and everything, you probably remember that we had a big May 1st grand opening, you know, against all mandates, if you will. Yeah. And we drew quite the crowd and caused quite the ruckus that day, but it was good. You know, we felt at that point that we had taken a stand and we sort of just had to go through with it and, you know, and open up. So we were open for about, 2 months? And then in July we were...
Officially May 15th we were able to reopen, and then...
July, right?
Beginning of July before... Right.
When the second round of closures came in, and... In the week leading up to the second round of closures, we'd been getting a lot of text messages from friends. Hey, do you think they're going to shut it down again? What do you think the governor's going to do? And I said, no, I don't think he is. I really, at that point, I really thought that was it. We were done.
And he owns restaurants.
You know, yeah. So I said, there's no way they're going to shut us down again. And sure enough, they did. So we've been closed since then, you know. And we don't do the whole takeout thing. It just doesn't make any money. You know, it's hard. It's hard to keep people.
Sure.
You know, employed with the takeout menu, so
costs us more to pay PG&E.
Yeah, yeah, it does. So that's where we're at now. And listen, we're very fortunate, you know, and we're very blessed. But you know, this has been a strain, just like you know, so many other business owners. And we'll be able to reopen, but there's so many that aren't. You know, good businesses that have been, you know, in our counties, and I'm saying Shasta and Tehama County for generations. You know, that just aren't going to open again. So.
So you were you bought the business and you were open for 45, maybe 60 days at most.
Yeah,
and
then just about. Yeah. No. When we first bought it, we couldn't be open at all.
Yeah, we weren't open.
Yeah, at all. Because it was that
for
first round
weeks.
Of closures.
Yeah, you know? We weren't open for 6 weeks.
Which at that point, listen, at that point it was sort of a blessing in that we were able to remodel. We were able to do the things that we wanted
sure.
to change the place to meet what we wanted to be.
Right,
you know,
right.
Our vision. But then that first round of closures just got extended, and that's when I took that stand and said, look, we got to open in May. You know.
Nothing like trying to kill a business
in
the very beginning.
Well, I think it was the second time, really, that got a lot of them, too. I know, like Peter Chu's, for example, which is, I think, about the best Chinese food around this area anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, Peter couldn't open back up again. I mean, as you said, I mean, you guys have to hire people. You've got overhead. What do you do with the stock you buy?
And
you
here's the crazy thing.
It's hard,
Not that this would have made anything better, solve the problem, but you could at least have given business owners a courtesy, right, of saying, hey, in 1 week we're going to close, so go through whatever stock you have. You
yes.
Know,
right.
Don't place new orders.
We just ordered thousands of dollars of food, you know, and then to have to close was just, you know, it's a big loss for people. And we're a mom-and-pop shop, you know, we're not a corporation.
Right. Well, even the I know that, for example, if you license something like the NFL is licensed and Harley-Davidson is licensed and Major League Baseball, and you have to pay a licensing fee to them to make a hat or a shirt or something like that. So even when before somebody gets a license, they still allow you the time to get rid of what you have before you had to purchase the license for it, right? I mean, in every business except for this one time. And you guys were really screwed. I mean, you know, Tortilla Flats was another one. I mean, they're great people. They've been in business forever here.
Well, I think Moonstone, too, which I think...
Yeah.
That
yeah.
makes me so sad.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard that for sure. Has that been verified that they're actually not going to open up again?
Well, I'm not sure, but I know that they had waited until July 1st to reopen because they had to get their staff back and do all that. And then they were all planned to that. And then, 10 days later?
They sold all their produce.
10 days later, you know, it's like, just kidding, shut down again.
Yeah. And just getting staff back is such a chore, you know? How do you compete with, unemployment plus $600 a week. I mean, you can't compete with
well,
that.
Well, that's changed now, though.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's actually $300 because Newsom just came out and said he can't kick in the extra $100 because he doesn't have any money. Well, I thought we were like the eighth biggest economy in the world. What the hell?
What happened to that $57 million surplus that we have? Yeah, I question that. Their budgeting sucks. Sorry.
We're going to go off to a break, but when we get back, there's a couple of things I want to discuss. One is I want to discuss what you said at the Board of Supervisors, which kudos to you, my brother.
Amen.
I want to talk a little bit about that, and then I want to talk about after that, I want to talk about what happened yesterday at Sprouts. Again, if you have a question or a comment, 605-4567, 605-4567, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
We believe America is the home of the brave. What we got is earned by working it and handed out for free. We stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance for the last of a dying breed. Last of a dying breed.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. It's our biggest sale of the year where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
Our August series is called Diagnosis Writer. Each episode, we're taking a close look at identifying common but difficult problems and pinning down their solutions. September spotlights designing interesting characters with interesting skill sets.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
51. We believe in freedom, believe in God and guns. We believe in working hard till the working day is done. Teach the children to follow the heart, kingdom right from all. One day this will be their land, this will be their song.
All right, we're back.
We are back. And, you know, that's the thing. We have to understand that really the silver bullet is this. And I'm going to have my friend Carlos expound on what he told the Board of Supervisors, and that went viral. We'll talk about that in a second. But here's the deal. The deal is do you want the silver bullet? You want it all to stop. Here's what we do. It's very simple. This solves the whole state problem. Number one, if we don't have representation, nothing matters.
Amen.
If you don't have representation in elected officials that will do the will of the people, nothing matters, number one. And if you don't have enough of them, that's a problem. Number two, the Second Amendment, because that protects everything else.
Yep.
If we don't have the Second Amendment, we don't have a way to protect our God-given rights that the Constitution protects. Number three, when we do elect these guys, there's something we've got to do. We have to make sure the apportionment of the folks, when they get elected, they can adequately represent you. In other words, if you have one senator for every million people like we have in California, how's he supposed to represent a million people? And if you have an assemblyman that represents 500,000, how's he supposed to do that? It should be like an assemblyman for like every 10,000, something like that.
Yeah.
But California being so large, you can't do it. There's just too many people. You can't do it with 40 million people. And you have to make sure that those people that we elect are held accountable. Mm-hmm. They're subject to the same laws we are,
mm-hmm.
not different laws, no exemptions, same laws we are, and that they're held to their oath of office and their oath to the Constitution mm-hmm. of the United States and the said state. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can do that is to split the state, because you can't get apportionment without doing it. That may mean three states. Might be a Northern Jefferson, a Southern Jefferson, and a state of Madison. Yeah. I know Peggy Hall, we've been talking to her. I mean, we have to do some way to get representation, or we get 16,000 representatives either way. But that's the only way you can do it. Anyway, Carlos, talking about representation, you went in, my friend, and you were speaking to the Board of Supervisors in Shasta County.
Yeah, real quick, you know, you touched on the word accountability, and I think that's probably the most important
thing.
Yes, sir. You know, we elect people, and we sort of get this fire and forget mindset, you know, where that rounds down range, and we sort of forget about it, you know, and half the time we don't even remember who we elected or who's serving in that spot. So the accountability piece is probably the most important thing, and we got to remember that they still are very, very accountable and responsible to our needs, to what we want them to do. And that's an ongoing thing. That doesn't stop when the campaign ends, you know. That starts when they take office, you know. So the Board of Supervisors meeting was a spot, a place where we felt that maybe we could affect a little bit of that accountability, you know, upon them. I didn't go there prepared to speak. I didn't go there to speak. I wasn't planning on it. In fact, I had somewhere I had to be at 7:30 that evening. I had people waiting on me. So I told Alyssa McEwen, which I'm sure you guys mm-hmm. know by now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who's done, by the way, who's done an outstanding job.
Oh, yeah.
Just has
for
really,
yeah.
She, yeah, just really, really risen up as a true leader, you know. Yep. So I told her, hey, I'll stop by, you know, and I was saying my goodbye, went to give her a hug and said, I got to go. And she says, no, you're not. She says, you're going to go in there, you're going to speak. And I said, no, Alyssa, I really got to go. I got people waiting on me. And she grabs me, puts me in the front of the line, threw me in there, you know, opened the door, and I think she literally almost
just
threw me
in, room.
You know. So here we go. And I do believe that there's some kind of divine appointment or divine, you know.
Intervention
there, you know, yeah. at that moment, some opportunity, if you will. So I figured here I am. I might never get another chance to say the things that have been on my heart and on my mind. And not only on my mind, but on the minds of probably everybody else, you know.
Sure.
So I let it flow, you know, and it was a shot that was heard around the world, if you will, now. You know, it's,
you know, it's 5.5 million hits?
Yeah,
like
it's been nuts. Yeah, I can't even count it.
Well, I know one thing you said that was really striking, too, is that during the remark, I mean, you talked about your kids, you talked about your business, you talked about our country. Yeah. You talked about how you fought for your country and how you sacrificed, and you'd be willing to do that again because, and you were right about one thing, and I think that one of the things that really touched me is when you said, you know, there's a million people like me. I believe that, brother.
There's way more, and that's a small number.
I believe that, brother.
That's a very figurative number.
And, yeah. And also, who was the one that was sleeping? I thought that was great.
It was Chimenti.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Was it Chimenti?
Yeah.
It's because of the mask, and he's breathing in.
Who knows? Hey, listen, I know he's a good guy. I just had to call him out at that point, you know. Equal opportunity.
Oh, my gosh.
Criticism.
I mean.
But, you know, yeah, I did say a lot of things, you know, at that time. And, listen, if there's a word I hate, and my wife will attest this, it's the word hero. I've never been a hero. I've never wanted to be a hero. Never considered myself one. And it's a word that's getting attached to me a lot. I just want to make that clear that I am not, you know. I've served with many heroes. And I've seen people do some real heroic stuff, you know. But I just have never wanted that title bestowed on me, myself. But, you know, one thing I wanted them to know, because I knew that we were very limited, I knew we only had 3 minutes to talk, you know, was how serious I was and how serious the people that are around us are now. Because we're at a boiling point, and people are no longer going to protest. You know, we're no longer going to peacefully assemble, because that's getting us absolutely nowhere. We are not getting our voices heard, you know. And
representation,
you know, 100%, absolutely. So unless there's a drastic change,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what are we left with? You know, and mm-hmm. you said something a little bit earlier as well with the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is our teeth. That's our bottom line. Mm-hmm. If we have no bottom line, then we have no message, right? So we could sit here and we could talk to her blue in the face about all the things we want, but if we're not actually willing at some point to turn the corner and fight for it, then our words mean nothing. You know. Especially when we're just not being heard.
I can agree with you more. I mean, you know, and the thing is, too, I want to encourage you, both of you, because You're every man. That's why it took off, because you're every man. You're all of us. And when you spoke, you were all of us. It wasn't you being singled out or anything like that. You spoke for all of us. And I believe that God did intervene and put those words in your mouth. I could tell you were, you were passionate, a wee bit nervous and passionate, and you were there and you were speaking for us. And when you said that, I don't know if I can say this word on the air. Can I say,
go ahead. Just say it quick. Say it fast.
Can I say it? Well, you don't know yet. I'm going to try.
I'll go hold her hand back.
Revolution.
When you basically said that you, you were saying something that everybody believed, but you had the balls to say it.
Yeah, you can say that.
I can say it.
Marbles, whatever.
Yes, we have to check all the time.
Sure.
We just fornicate a lot.
Button. Yeah. She pushes the button.
We just, fornicate or female dog and all kinds of. We use a lot of different verbiages there.
Euphemisms.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and I meant that. You know, and not to say that there's not a lot of courageous people, because there are. Listen, you know, but it takes, I think, a certain kind of person. Or maybe it just takes somebody that just doesn't care enough to
say it. I think, that's it. You hit your ab like the rest of us.
You know, and but, you know, my sister posted a video that night or the next night whenever it got posted to the Shasta County website. So she grabbed it off there and she posted it, and I called her right away. I said, hey, take that down. I don't want this thing to go viral. You know, I said, look, this is just – that was a moment in time. I think I got my message across. I really don't need this thing going viral. Well, it was too late. it caught fire. It took off. Yep. And now – you know, I'm sort of thankful for that. You know, I'm thankful for it, not because I'm never, anybody that knows me knows that I do not want fame. I don't like fame. I don't want to be the center of attention. But if it gives me a platform to get my message across and the message of millions and millions of Americans, then so be it. I'll be that guy, you know. Yeah. So that's kind of where we're at now.
Now, what branch of service did you serve in?
The Marine Corps.
Marine Corps? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, yesterday we had, we went to Sprouts. And because they have a policy where they won't let you in if you're not wearing a mask. Well, that's against the law. They have to let you in. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to look at, folks. You need to go and look at Facebook. You can look at Rally Sally's page. And I'm sure you can look all over Facebook and see a lot of the video from that. But I know that when two women went in originally, they wanted to go in the store without a mask. And they had exemptions. Now, if you have an exemption, no one should be able to stop you. But they were stopped by a manager and clerks. They were blocked from getting in. That's a big deal because you can not serve them. In other words, they can go through the store, and long story short, they can go through the store and get their groceries. Whether you want to take the money or not is up to you.
Yeah.
That's serving. Yeah. But they are allowed to go inside, and after we actually had at one point 11 police cars there.
There was. I think every unit in the county or in the city was there, you know.
Well, the officer I was talking to said that there were only 15 guys on duty, or guys and gals. But
so that was all RPD?
I guess. You know, the thing, and there really wasn't any reason for them to be there. I mean, the big deal was that every store in town may say, or many stores in town may say, you're required to wear, we'd like you to wear a mask, but it's not a law. You can't stop people and do that. First of all, the clerks and managers are not law enforcement. They can't detain you. It's against the law, you know. They also can't discriminate. And they have their own policy, which I find interesting, which is a non-discrimination and harassment policy. And one of the main things it says, this is the policy from Sprouts, this is their code of conduct and ethics, is discrimination and harassment, whether it be caused by a team member, customer, vendor, or supplier in the workplace or any functions related to the workplace is unacceptable and will not be tolerated. We will not tolerate unlawful discrimination and harassment. Well, and that's on race, religion, color, creed, national origin, ancestry, ethnicity, age, sex, pregnancy, I don't know why that's in there, you know, or your sexual orientation, and any conduct by a team member resulting in denial or refusal of full, equal employment of our stores and services, or conduct discouraging a reasonable customer from visiting our stores is prohibited. Well, a reasonable customer doesn't have to wear a mask. That's a reasonable customer. And even if it's store policy, you can't do that because you fall under the Civil Rights Code. Mm-hmm. And you fall under the Civil Rights Code in regard to the fact that you are open to the public. Okay? And if it's something against the law, they also handed out a code of ethics. But, Carlos, I know that you had a motivational discussion with a couple of people in there.
I did.
Yep, and I'm sure you're motivated.
Listen, this is where, you know, I think I have, you know, something to say about this. As a business owner, I don't want anybody to tell me who I have to and who I, you know, can't serve.
Sure.
You know? I want to be able to serve whoever I want. As a customer, I do not want to force myself into a business that doesn't want me there. So if they don't want me there because I, you know, I'm not wearing a mask, then so be it. You know, I'm not going to patronize your store. I won't be a customer there. I'm not going to spend any money there. And I'm going to encourage other people not to spend money there. So I think the fight, if we try to, you know, fight from a legal perspective, I don't know if that's a fight that we win, lose. I don't know.
No, I don't know if it'll go legally. I just think that it was a statement.
It was.
And I think, you know, many people that did go in the store, I know there was families that went in. And,
sure.
But see, here's the funny part. They knew that they could let you in the store. Yeah. Every grocery store in town will request a mask. You wear it or you don't. Your choice.
Sure.
But the one last thing I did want to mention about that, and that is that when they go in the store, and they're not, you know, and you're not wearing a mask, and you go all the way up to the register, then they take your stuff out of the basket, and they put it to the side, and they don't take your money.
It makes no logical sense.
It makes no logical sense.
At all. You know, and this whole mask thing, I mean, this is the issue. You know, this isn't even about Sprouts. It's not about any particular store. This is just about our entire culture right now is completely under attack and held hostage by these stupid masks, you know. I mean, 2,300 years ago, you know, they figured out that they could take people's identities by covering their faces, you know. And this is why in the Islam religion, you know, you see, you know, women covering their faces because they knew that they would take their identity by covering them, you know. And this is exactly what they're doing now. This is a complete and total, you know, change of our entire culture. And they're trying to completely take away our identity as humans, as Americans. You know, they hate what we stand for. They hate what we're about. They want to muzzle us. And this is my issue with the masks, you know, because it's just one more thing to divide us, right? If they can't divide us on race, they're going to divide us by our socioeconomic status, or they're going to divide us by where we live. They're going to divide us by what you do for a living, by who your family is, what your name is. All these things. Well, when they fail at all that, now they'd have to throw on something as stupid as a mask, right?
Yeah, you know, and that I think is the whole issue. I mean, there was nothing. These two ladies that walked in, that they wanted to see the manager. I mean, you know, it wasn't a thing to where they were going to go in and the fellow who was talking to him took his mask down so they could hear him. So he was you know. But I guess the whole point is that you either stand for something or you don't. And I think that, like, Peggy Hall is a good example. And then we'll have to go to a break, and then we can comment on this after. I think we have a phone call, too, that we're going to have to take. But when Peggy Hall was supposed to come out here and speak at a large event there were many of us speaking at, she didn't get on the plane because she would have to wear a mask. And she's doesn't believe that she, so she didn't get on.
I have a story. Do I have time to talk about?
Yes, right after the break, and then we'll take the phone call, but hold your thought, my brother.
Sounds good.
All right. Time has come.
For 51.
Hold on, Ben. Here we come.
Instead of 911, they're built to improvise, adapt, and overcome. When you're in knee deep and you're up shit's creek, you've tried everything. Tell you what you do. Call them a rain.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergent limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Okay.
We're back.
Did Sally put that one on? Thanks, baby.
After she got water bombed in the pool?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Terry likes to cannonball his wife when she's in the pool.
Yeah, I do. Her and her best friend. She flew her best friend back to Las Vegas today.
Uh-oh. Bye, Jenny.
Yeah. She went this morning at 7. They took off. But I think she's moving out here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Vegas's loss is our gain.
That's for sure. Great lady. Her husband was a prince, an absolute prince. Nicer man never lived. Anyway, Ben, what say you, sir?
Good morning, Ben.
Hey, fellas, how we doing this morning?
Good, and you?
I'm doing just darn near perfect.
Awesome.
What you got, buddy?
Well, so I'm a former Marine. I've lived in Reading my whole life here. I have a family. I work from 7:30 to 4 o'clock 5 days a week, enjoy my weekends with my family, and I've just about had enough of this crap.
Amen, brother.
I watched the video on Facebook, and something that I thought I should draw a comparison to in stark contrast is towards the end of the video, when it was time for the protest to end, I believe, you know, we made our point. This is what it takes in order to ensure our freedom. The people left peacefully. There were no police officers hurt. There were no police vehicles damaged. And that's how it should be. And you see what's going on TV today on all the news networks and everything, and all of these riots that are taking place, and all of the lives that have been lost, and all of the defunding of the police, and vehicles being damaged, burned, and all this other stuff. It's just it's disgraceful.
Couldn't agree with you more, brother. Couldn't agree with you more.
That's all I have to say. I just wanted to get my point across.
All right, sir. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Ben.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
We were talking about, don't look at me, I'm a lot older than you. I'm not going to
remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah, you mentioned Peggy Hall, and you said that.
Oh, yeah.
She was going to fly out here and
they want to make her wear a mask?
Yeah, absolutely.
She held to her conviction.
Coincidentally, we're supposed to be in Florida right now, and we got kicked off a plane 2 days ago on, what day were we flying out? Thursday. On Thursday. Yeah, we're flying on Thursday, and we're at the Sacramento airport. We got on a plane, we boarded. Or on the tarmac, and they kicked us off the plane for refusing to wear masks. So their loss is your gain.
Just saying.
We'd be in Florida right now.
That's why we were at Sprouts. Just saying, buddy. We can sugarcoat it, but, you know, the real deal is that it was they have a policy that against their own policy, number one. Number two, I don't know if it goes
anywhere. And that was American Airlines, by the way.
Was it?
Un-American Airlines.
So you're going to name it.
Un-American Airlines.
Man.
That is just,
you're a man.
Wow, that's sad.
You know, the deal is that, you know, if you're gonna have a situation to where you suggest and you encourage people to wear a mask, because if they feel like they want to wear them, they should. Whenever I go in a store, I pretty much social distance anyway, you know. I mean, I try to follow the arrows. Yeah. I mean, just,
and everybody else avoids
I sort of do.
Everybody else sees you coming,
they
avoid
do.
You.
They avoid me anyway. I know. I've got a face for radio. So, Becca, you're supposed to laugh at that.
She's
laughing even harder now.
She's heard better. That's why she didn't laugh.
That's it. Anyway, well, you know, they think that he's my younger brother.
That's right. Yeah, right.
He got all the looks in the family. Okay, so
just a little darker.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But anyway.
But I still get called racist, so.
Yeah.
I saw a sign the other day that said patriotism is racism.
Oh, my gosh.
So, racist is just a word now that just gets thrown around. It doesn't even mean anything anymore. You know what I mean? If someone doesn't like what you're doing, you're racist. Like,
that's right.
It
doesn't matter
no
what
sense.
Side of the fence you're on. Yep. Yeah.
Well, it's what shuts you up, right? It's what stops the conversation. You can talk about things on and on and on, but the second that somebody throws the R word, that racist word, it's a game changer. It's a stopper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because nobody wants to be racist. Yeah. I'd be a million things, but racist I wouldn't.
Yes, yeah.
Wouldn't want to be.
Yeah.
You know.
So you have kids?
We do.
How many?
Four. You
four.
Want one?
One.
Four. I got five. I tried to get rid of mine. I named them all the same names so I could remember who they were.
Oh.
And we're homeschooling our kids. My daughter is a senior at Foothill, and she decided that she wants to, you know, be at school for senior year, but we have an agreement that she won't wear a mask, you know, and it's like one of these, Dad, you know, if they make me, I said, yeah. You know, if they make you, you tell them. My dad's going to come down here, you know, and talk to you. And then the other three kids, the three younger ones, said, we don't want to go to school and wear masks. And I said, good, because I don't want you to either.
Well, right? Yeah, we said that. We're like, listen, this, no new normal crap. Either either it's normal or you're not going.
So now we have the Zapata charter school.
How long have you two known each other?
Since sixth grade, actually.
That's
seriously?
Yeah. Yes.
So when did you get smart?
Not until about 8 years ago.
smart. I don't know if I'm smart
never
now. But, you know, this is a conversation worth having, right, when we're talking about these masks and everything else, because I think we all truly want to look at this through the most intelligent lens that we
sure.
can. Okay,
sure.
Nobody wants to hurt anybody. Nobody, you know, is so cavalier that we don't care if people die.
Sure.
But you have to look at the greater good. You have to look at what benefits, sure. you know, and I don't think they're looking at the suicide rates. I don't think they're looking at the domestic abuse and the child abuse. I don't think they're looking at the long-term effects of what's going on right now. And that's serious business, you know, and that's why we're taking a stand, you know, because my own personal freedom, you know, that's something that I'm accountable and responsible for. Right. But when you're talking about the mental health of a generation, that's something that we're not going to recover from. The economy might recover. Maybe, you know, I think if we stop this now, but the long-term damage that you're doing to these children, you know, not only psychologically, you know, from knowing that they can be muzzled, knowing that their rights can be taken away like this, you know, but just what we're teaching them. We're teaching them to be submissive mm-hmm. to the government, you know,
yeah, well,
to these mandates.
Yeah, well, for what the society looks like for them 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road if we're just allowing
sure.
this kind of stuff to continue.
And I don't know what I can can't say on this show. If I say something I shouldn't, just you won't ever invite me back again, I'm sure. You know?
No. But
you'll
be a regular.
I've said this for years, you know, and I've been saying this for some time, that this next generation will be unrecognizable as Americans.
That's
you know?
Right.
You won't be able to tell the difference between a guy and a girl. You won't be able to tell the difference between a
well, there's
woman,
more than two
you know?
Genders now.
Well, I know, and who knows what the hell they'll be by then, you know?
Yeah.
Because boys just aren't allowed, and this all starts when you start to emasculate a society, you know, when you tell boys that they can't play with guns, you tell boys that they can't fist fight, you tell boys that they can't cuss and they can't talk a certain way and they can't be aggressive. This leads to a very, you know, submissive and subversive society, and that's where we're at now. So we're seeing the consequences of something that's been going on for generations. This is a playbook, and I have yeah. so much to say about this because I've seen this play out exactly the way the textbook says it should play out. You know, my family came from South America. They came from Peru, and they fled there because of what socialism did to that country. You know, and my mom and dad will tell you that what happened there in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, exactly what is going on.
Absolutely.
Now,
I know? Can agree with you.
And I was talking to my dad on the phone yesterday, and he says, son, yeah. where do we go from here? We have no other country you can flee to. So this is worth fighting for because sure. we don't have another, you know, bastion of freedom that we can just pick up and move our families to. This is it. If we don't fight for this now, we are screwed. We'll never get it back again.
That's right.
So I feel pretty strongly about it, I guess.
You know, well, we've got a caller on the line.
Yeah.
Nick, let's say you.
Good morning,
you got about a minute, buddy. What's up?
Well, I've got a question for Carlos' wife, and I hope you're going to announce my new show that's starting in 2 weeks. For Carlos' wife, I'm wondering, I assume that you're a nurse, you work at the hospital. I'm wondering how your colleagues feel about this. Are they wearing masks? Are they? Do they think that this is really a pandemic or a farce? And I'm wondering about the doctors.
So,
are they wearing masks or just when they have to make it look like that they're falling in line?
So we all have to at the hospital now, right? That's been, you know, instituted. When this first started, I feel like I was surprised that a higher majority, I'm going to say maybe 60% of my doctors and nurses that I know kind of bought into it. Initially, in the beginning, everyone was like, this is so stupid. And then when the shutdowns really happened and they started talking about how so bad it was in Italy, I feel like a high percentage of them got on board for that initial part and were very much like, wear your mask, stay home, social distance. And then as this has gone on, definitely I would say by mid-May or so, about 80% of them now all think that it is complete BS. They don't wear, most of my friends in the medical profession do not wear masks when they're out in public, and are very, and actually, ironically maybe, most of the nurses that I work with are very anti-vax or anti-forcibly vaccinating your children, and I don't know one person that would take the COVID vaccine. Everyone that I know that works in the hospital said absolutely not. And obviously, I can't speak for every single staffer in the hospital. I don't know them all. But I'm just saying, of the people that I know and speak with, doctors and nurses, respiratory therapists, physician's assistants, you name it, they are, majority of them are of the mindset that this is totally out of control now. And that what we were presented with, the situation is actually not what's happening.
So they must have gotten all their degrees from a fake school, right? I mean, according to the left, right? Because any time that somebody who's actually a medical professional agrees with our side, they get debunked or they get, you know, declassified, right? So.
Or 86th out of the hospital.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick.
I'm sure you guys know what 86th is.
Yes, we do.
Okay, they own a bar.
They own a bar.
I've been 86th.
I just wondered if the medical community had bought into this, and it sounds to me like they're not going for it anymore either.
No, there's still a small percentage. I can think of a few doctors and nurses that are still, you know, out there on Facebook really...
But they're political leftists.
People,
you know,
yes, but they are also very liberal left.
Yeah, I remember when they
people.
Had the swine flu and came out with that vaccination.
Right.
The doctor told me he wasn't going to take it.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, this vaccine they're trying to push real quick right now, it couldn't be safe. Anyway, thank you. Good show. Have a great
thank
day.
Thank you.
You bet.
And,
thank
you know,
you,
that's my issue with the masks for the most part, is that they're not effective against any kind of viral spread. And
right.
I've been a critical care nurse for 19 years, and everything that we've been taught in hospital settings about proper use of PPE and what masks and protection you wear for, you know, whether it's bacterial, airborne, droplet, you know, that has now all of a sudden gone out the window.
Right.
And that wearing these loose cloth masks
right.
that aren't even worn correctly,
right.
that somehow now this is going to prevent a viral spread, which is 100% impossible.
Right.
But then they're trying to say, well, no, the science shows. What science? No, it doesn't. And for me, I feel like this is the line, right? Because it's right now it's a mask. And people say, well, it's just a mask. What's the big deal? Okay, so what's the next step, right?
What's the next step?
So now it's not a mask. Now it's you have to have a vaccine. And now you have to show proof of that, or you have to have a chip before you can travel, or you have to have papers before you can travel that
or
proves
you can't
that
have a liquor license unless you get a vaccine.
Right.
Maybe a number, 666.
The line is just going to keep moving.
Yeah.
If we don't stop it
pretty
now,
scary.
It's going to be worse
right.
down the road.
We're going to have to go off to a
wow.
break, but let you talk a little bit more about the masks. We'll go to you, Barbara, right after the break, but that was great stuff.
Yeah.
And you can, I want to give you a little time so you don't
okay.
feel rushed.
That's really it. I mean,
that it?
She talks real fast.
Well, she got it nailed.
Try to slow down.
She got it nailed. All right. Okay, Barbara Hagen with us. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
I don't look for trouble, but when trouble comes, I fight. Cause my daddy taught me freedom has no lifetime guarantee. Ragged flag says, don't tread on me. Don't tread on me.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge.
Covenant Church of Spokane, Washington is being sued by Planned Parenthood for holding an outdoor church service monthly in a public area next to Planned Parenthood's building. And Pacific Justice Institute has filed to defend against this lawsuit.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org.
Fleetwood Mac. We've got phone callers in here, and what we're going to do is we've got two of you on the line. Barbara, you're first. Do you have a question or a comment for our guests?
I have a comment. First of all, great, great program. I love Carlos Becker. Oh, our leaders. This program does much for us, and I just want to commend you. But I work in Kenya. I work in Zambia, and mostly with the Maasai tribe in Kenya. I educate the Maasai that are 200,000 in the bush, never ever touched a book, a school, medical, nothing, no civilization, and I work with them. They are wearing masks in the bush when there is not much more than 700 cases in the whole nation of Kenya. And I got pictures this morning. I can't get back until Kenyatta, the president, allows us to come back in. And here's what's happened. They stopped all international airlines going into Kenya and because of the virus. And then finally they opened up to 11 airlines, but nothing from America can go into Kenya.
Wow.
That's okay. I use an American airline, United, JetBlue, and I get to Chicago, New York, and I pick up Qatar. Or I pick up Dutch KLM, something, go into Kenya. I can get into Kenya. Hmm. But now they've extended there. Now Florida, California, and Texas, if they, any residents on your passport, if it shows those states, you automatically quarantine for 14 days at your expense, no coming or going,
wow,
in a lodge in Nairobi.
Wow.
Okay? Those three states are penalized. Okay?
Wow.
I can't get around it. But I just wanted to share that this virus, it's a real virus. But it was a planned virus. And it's sold to affect the election. I believe that with all of my heart.
Yeah, Barbara, I think that you got a good point there, and excellent call. Please call in again. We do have somebody else on the line. But, Barbara, thank you so much.
And you're not alone in what you're thinking.
You're not alone in what you're thinking, my dear.
And, hey, Carlos and Becca, we love you. Thank you.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
I appreciate you calling in.
Sean, what say you, sir?
Hello, Sean.
Sean.
Hey. Hi, Terry. Hi, Wynn. Hi, Zapata family.
Hello.
I just... I wanted to hit on what Carlos had said about the money, the $215 million that our area and businesses and revenue has lost and the $18 million that the county's getting.
Yeah.
And I think that the reason the county is hung up on the money is because that $18 million goes straight to the county board of supervisors, and they probably aren't going to get that from the generated revenue. And at least not directly or immediately. And that's what I think that they're after. And that's a big part of their motivation.
Well, yeah, but it's a pittance. It's $100 a person, and you're right about what you're saying. And the $250 million, I mean, you know, that's probably a spit in the bucket. I mean, frankly, when you stop and look at it, all the things we've lost, I mean, the revenue from all the fairs, all the events. I mean, how many events are there in Reading a week? What, 6, 8, 10 events?
In Red Bluff alone brings in $7.8 million during the roundup.
Just during the roundup, yeah. Well, we did our roundup and got one.
Yeah, we sure did.
We were there, man.
Yep.
We did it anyway.
And good on Jeff Davis for doing that, you know. I mean,
isn't he great?
Yeah, what a stud.
Yeah, it was great, all those guys, and Woody and all those guys. Anyway, so, yeah, Sean, we miss you, brother. I got to have you in here soon. Sean's one of our young men who... He hosts
when we go away.
Right on.
Yeah, we're known as the mass delegators. That's great. I got a funny one for you, Sean. You're gonna
that's a
go
skill.
Ahead. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, I just gonna say good job, and I just I really like when he hit on the money in that in at the Board of Supervisors.
Well, you know, you can always call in and add to that. That'd be great, buddy. Whenever you have stuff, because I know that you have an end to all that. But I got to tell you a funny story, if I can remember it. Anyway,
And the license plate reader thing. I still want to know why we got to put them up. And I personally
tell people about that.
Those up.
Yeah. Tell people about that real quick.
So the city, they started out with putting up these thermal imagers to look for fires around the city, and now they've turned it into, I believe it's 29 or 39 license plate readers all throughout the city. And we just received a list of where those are going. My department specifically is going to be putting up, I believe, 19 of them.
On traffic.
But no one can tell us what the purpose is, and it's suddenly a big rush.
Yeah,
we don't even know what the cost is yet. I don't even think.
I thought we didn't have any money.
And nobody asked. This goes back to the accountability piece we talked about earlier, right? Where, I mean, yeah, we need to be accountable to the policies, you know, or make them accountable, you know, for the policies they pass and everything. But even more accountable with what they're doing with our money. I mean, shoot, that's our resources, right?
Yeah, who's signing off on that?
Yeah.
And
to not know what the purpose is. And so when you have these license readers, you know, it's control. It's 100%
control. Yeah.
But a lot of times they hide
what are they doing with the data? And then it's an outside agency that's going to be collecting the data and giving it back someplace down south. So it's just, the whole thing's a mess.
Watch the Title 18 242, brother. Title 18 United States Code 242.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, too, that all those kind of things are hidden in plain sight. When they're talking about budget allocations and so forth, or different monies going certain places, it's hidden there. It's there, but it's hidden in plain sight. Yeah. So you have to go over their budgets with a fine-tooth comb, and you have to be able to dissect it and translate it into what it really is.
Yes.
Because they're not being straightforward with us. They're lying to our faces, and it's just plain BS.
Hey, Sean, thank you, brother. We've got to, and I'll give you a call later. Also, we have Steve on the line. Steve, you got about a minute. That's about it. What you got?
Yeah, I just wanted to champion Dr. Danuka last week on the show that follows your program.
Sovereign Minds,
He was talking about all the counties holding on to their tax money, their property tax and tax money, and send it in as we can, but pay for our counties first, and, you know, keep it away from California.
That's what I've been saying for 4 years. Yep.
You hit Wynn's hot button.
That's my hot button.
All right. Well, let's champion that. Let's get on it. We got 23 counties, the state of Jefferson.
All right.
California is okay. Thank you.
Hey, Steve, when you get on the council up there, why don't you help us start that? Oh, he's off the air already.
Because
he's running for elected office. So once he gets in there, he can bring that up on the agenda and they can take action on it.
Well, just real quickly, I'll take about 30 seconds, but that's the idea. I mean, if we take this state, maybe three states, but it still has to be, you can't just eliminate a couple of different counties and think you're going to fix everything, because you're still going to have a situation where you don't have the apportionment properly, which is one for every 10,000. You can only do that if you split the state. And everybody needs to do it at the same time. That's my thought process, but that's a conversation for a whole other day.
Yep.
Carlos, my good friend, and Becca. Thank you so much.
Thanks
and
for having
you got the last 2 minutes here. Go for it.
No, listen, I mean, we know the answers, you know. We can sit here and debate and talk about this all day, but I think we know what we need to do. You know, we just need to do it. And we could end this thing, this whole COVID hoax, and I'm going to call it a hoax, I'm going to call it for what it is.
Yep.
We could end this thing right now in the next hour. If everybody just decided, to do what's right.
They were going
to
say no.
You know,
they say no.
So, using the plane as a perfect example, right? I guarantee you there was other people on the plane that felt like we felt. They just, you know, didn't have the conviction enough to walk off that plane. Well, I didn't have to get to Florida that bad. So,
yeah.
Well, I'll stay home, you know. And I suppose maybe some were trying to get home and listen, that's another conversation. But
sure.
If we all said no together, we would have so much more power. We
Amen.
Have exponential power that you couldn't stop.
That's
you know?
Right.
But you have to overcome the fear. You cannot be fearful of being a patriot. You cannot be fearful of standing up for what's right and following your convictions. You know, patriotism to me is the most beautiful, sacred thing we could possibly have aside from your own faith, you know. And it's something that, like I said earlier, you know, now it's being associated with racism, but, you know, we got to be proud of this country.
Amen.
Or we're going to lose it.
Amen, brother.
Carlos, Becca,
thank
you guys
so
are awesome. Thank you. Great patriots.
Keep up
come
the
again.
Fight. Keep up the fight.
Thanks. All right.
Thanks
thank
for
you
having
for
us.
Having us.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.